you're not feeling a little bit nervous, like, are you really living? You know what I'm saying? Ain't no way I'm running now. Ain't no way I'm
running. Yeah. Right here. 10, 5, touchdown! A pick 6! Denzel Ward is back!
I'm proud of these guys, how they were able to focus up despite all the bullshit that was going on this week.
Josh Allen of the Bills is picked up by Josh Allen of the Jaguars.
We have literally not seen those things all year long.
I think everybody just has to be accountable for what just happened.
We just got to stop giving people heart attacks.
Another walk-off game-winning field goal.
It looks like he's seeing ghosts again.
James Conner with his third touchdown of the day.
Obviously, we're not playing offensively the way we wanted to and the way we expect to, but we're finding ways to get wins.
He pulled his like best Ferris Bueller this week and didn't have to show up for work and went out in that career-type game.
Picked off again, returned on the left side for a touchdown.
All day, yes, touchdown, Titans.
Pissed off about losing the game, absolutely. Ready to go out there and make whatever mistakes we made in this game, make them right, and make sure we do a good job next time we're out on the field.
Hey, it's Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do? We get a people what they want. What a wild week. Week 9 in the NFL was so many upsets, so many underdogs getting wins, and we start with the most surprising result of the weekend, which was the Denver Broncos going up on America's team 30-0 in the fourth quarter. The Cowboys did score 16, but were never competitive in this one. What happened in Arlington to the Cowboys, Mr. Rose?
You know what I love about sports in particular when it's professional? We just were talking about the Dallas Cowboys, and you picked them as your favorite to come out of the NFC.
Sure did.
The Rams had that said about them a couple of weeks ago. And Dak returns after you win at Minnesota, and this is how you perform? But I want to give some credit to the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
Because they bullied the Cowboys. That's what I saw. And it's a character win for them, too, because they just let Von Miller go. And he was the face of that defense. And for it to stand up like that without him against the Dallas Cowboys and stymie that offense, it was crazy. But also, let me say this about the Cowboys. Do you think they got cute early in the game? You know what I mean? Like, oh so y'all just gonna go for it on fourth down every time like it's Madden? Is that what we doing?
Different
D was like, oh, is that what we doing? And it's only right late in the game, the fourth down ended up being the pick.
It was absolutely wild to watch this one. I kept expecting the Cowboys to get right, and they just never, ever, ever got right. But I do also want to give credit to the Broncos, who, as you mentioned, they lost Von Miller this week. And Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater played pretty well in this one, that they might have something in Denver. I have no idea what teams are good in the NFL right now. I have no idea what teams are good in the NFL right now. Because after last week, I thought the Cowboys were the best team in the NFC by far. But to give up this kind of a game to Bridgewater, they weren't just bad offensively. They couldn't stop the Broncos defensively either.
And also, you saw it right there. Our guy Diggs gave
going
up
Diggs.
A touchdown. No doubt about it. Parsons did have 2.5 sacks. But again, I want to make sure I give credit to the physicality of the Broncos defense. They bullied the Dallas Cowboys.
But this was just one of the very surprising results that we had yesterday in the NFL. And this win is a win that we expected from the Chiefs over the Packers, but it didn't look good for either team, especially not for Jordan Love, who we sort of zeroed in on and said this would be the biggest day of his career. And he did not step up and perform in a way which is going to get him the starting job for the Packers next year.
And that's the other thing about sports is, man, when you get an opportunity, if you can make the most of it, things can look a lot different. So imagine if you Matt LaFleur, he throws for 350, 3 touchdowns. We're thinking today, maybe we could move on without Aaron Rodgers. But when you can't hit Devontae Adams in particular, like that's 1A of the job. You got to find a way to hit him. Give him a chance to make a play on the ball. And he wasn't able to do that. That's a bigger problem for them because he might not see the field again. Aaron Rodgers is still, you know, one of the greats in the game. And regardless of what I think about his vaccination status, when he gets back out there, like, he's going to be wearing a mask in a press conference, but Jordan Love might not see the field. And so no. I agree with you. That's a chance for him that I think he really didn't seize it.
Not only could Jordan Love not see the field, his family couldn't see the field either because look at where they put Jordan Love's family in the stadium. They had him back against the wall of Arrowhead. Like, come on now. This is his first start in the NFL, and that's where he put his family? That is rude, Jalen Rose. That is rude.
I feel like this. The media is making too much of this. Take it from somebody that played sports his entire life. The player ultimately is responsible for where they loved ones sit. We ain't about to blame the Kansas City Chiefs. That man getting the NFL check. If he wanted them to have some different tickets, he could have bought them.
Well, it didn't go well. Maybe he knew he was going to perform this way, and he kept his family all that far away from the game because Jordan Love never looked comfortable, never looked stable, never looked like he had control of the offense. And another thing that I don't want to overlook is the Chiefs didn't look good in this one either. Like, this was there to be won by the Packers. The Chiefs' offense has got a couple wins the last couple weeks, but it still doesn't look right. If I'm in the AFC, I am no longer afraid of the Chiefs the way I was the last 3 years.
Well, again, you got to be able to protect Patrick Mahomes. If you notice, every time there's pressure in his face, and then you see him drops. And here's the thing. When you're watching that game, you're like, if Aaron Rodgers was playing, Green Bay would be waxing KC. That's kind of what I was thinking when I was watching the game. Every time you start to think like, man, where's my Kansas City Chiefs in fast forward? You know how much I love them in fast forward, Jacoby. I'm just not getting it.
No, not at all. I am not afraid of the Chiefs if I'm in the AFC. However, I am afraid of the Titans because the Titans played the Rams without King Henry, without Derrick Henry, and it wasn't the Titans' offense that won them the game. It was the Titans' defense absolutely shutting down the high-octane offense of the Rams.
Shout to Mike Vrabel, by the way, because anytime you lose your best player, people like me are going to say, your goals are over. And while I still don't believe that they're going to win the Super Bowl without their best player, Derrick Henry, I'm extremely impressed by how their defense played. In particular, the pressure they was putting on Matthew Stafford. Not only the 8 sacks, but taking advantage of the interceptions. Picked them off for the first time in his career on back-to-back passes. I want to make sure we pay homage because it, like you mentioned, wasn't about the offense going up and down the field. It was about that defense of the Titans.
Absolutely. And when we talk about the Titans, we always talk about A.J. Brown and Tannehill and King Henry. And we say, oh, well, only if only their defense could come together, their offense has to make up for their lack of defense. Now it's completely flipped. The Titans defense has been very strong in the past few weeks. And that is the type of team with the AFC wide open the way it is. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up in the Super Bowl. I have no idea what teams in the AFC are any good. I have absolutely no idea. But my number one team in the AFC are the Baltimore Ravens, who went to overtime against the Vikings, and Lamar Jackson just continues to get it done.
Big trust
after week. Big trust for Lamar, who got them in field goal position. And then, of course, Tucker, so consistent, knocked it through the uprights to get them the game. Are you in agreement with me that the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in the AFC?
Yes, because in particular, on weeks where Kyler Murray isn't playing, it reminds me how Lamar looks faster than everybody else out there. It reminds me of that. And so I have to roll with you on that, in particular when their defense is playing stout. Lamar rushed for over 100 yesterday. He was fantastic, hooking up with Hollywood Brown. But you mentioned something I want to make sure I acknowledge. It's not necessarily, I guess, highlight material to show kicks, but you can't underestimate the value of Justin Tucker.
Yes.
Like, when you got the best kicker in the league and you got one of the best, along with Kyler Murray's, rushing quarterbacks in the league, that's a recipe indirectly for ground and pound, and then all of a sudden somebody shake loose like Hollywood did late. So I got to roll with you right now. And you're a capo in the Bills Mafia. So I'm gonna make sure I hold you accountable. They allowed you to come to Buffalo, jump off of a table. Benny the Butcher, I think he gave you a B minus. You know what I mean? And now you jumping out the bandwagon when you see Justin Tucker and Lamar Jackson looking good on a Sunday afternoon?
I love the Bills. I love the city of Buffalo. I am still part of the Bills Mafia, but they lost to the Jaguars. And the Ravens won in overtime. And Lamar looked good and Josh Allen did not. We will talk about the Bills, but there's another team in the AFC that no longer has their star receiver, Odell Beckham Jr. But they played the darlings of the season, the Bengals, and they whooped them. It was Chubb. And it was Baker Mayfield. Jalen, simple question for you. Why is Baker Mayfield a better quarterback when Odell Beckham Jr. is no longer available to him? We've seen it enough times now to know that that is an actual fact.
Like I said, when Odell Beckham was put on waivers, this is going to be a proven ground for everybody, fam. He's more well-liked by the public and the media is Odell. So the chant was free Odell. But he still got to go somewhere to ball. Baker Mayfield still has to do the same as a quarterback. And I just heard you say he's actually been better without Odell. I just saw the team on the football field play against the Cincinnati Bengals. As you mentioned, Joe Burrow and Chase, nobody's been able to slow them down. That happened yesterday. A word that came to mind for me was explosive. You saw Peoples Jones. Peoples. Jones, you saw Denzel Ward. You saw Nick Chubb eating up yards.
The Browns had a passing touchdown of over 60 yards, a rushing touchdown of over 60 yards, and a defensive touchdown of over 60 yards yesterday, and they looked so good. I have no idea who's good in the AFC, Jalen. I have absolutely no idea who's good in the AFC. There are 11 teams that I could see winning the AFC. It has been a wild year, and this was such a wild week, but it's now time for us to turn our attention to the National Basketball Association, because we've had a magnifying glass on the play of James Harden all season, and it's starting to look better, and so are the Nets. We'll break that down and much more right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Peloton. Get the original bike at the best price ever.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in the Seaport, New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, over the last couple
what
games,
up,
James Harden and the Nets have been putting it together. What have you noticed differently from Harden and Durant in the last couple games than you did early in the season?
Well, the obvious constant is going to be Kevin Durant. Where there's basketball, it's going to be KD getting buckets. It don't matter where that is. He's just unstoppable in all areas of the floor. So they just find the ways to move him around, get him the ball. He's being aggressive. He's getting dunks in transition like you see right there. They're doing pin downs for him, catching shoots. Like he's been outstanding. For James Harden, it's been a mixed bag. It's the play against the Pistons when the ball went into the backcourt and he allowed the Piston player to pick it up and go dunk it without any resistance. But then I also know that he's nursing his hamstring injury from last year and also trying to pace himself because he's scared that he don't want to snap his hamstring and have a setback in that injury. So in this game, he paced himself offensively really for the first three quarters and kind of got going scoring the basketball in the fourth quarter. And that ended up being the difference.
It's good to see Siakam back on the court for the Raptors. It's also good to see James Harden getting close to a triple-double, the production that we're used to seeing from him. He sort of plays his way into the season. Some tells me that he might not have the most rigorous offseason of all the players in the NBA, but he's certainly playing his way into this one and starting to round into form, and that pun is very much intended. There's another team in New York City, and Bing Bong isn't so much Bing and Bong anymore because
the Bing Bong
wasn't doing great. The Cleveland Cavaliers.
I'll
Cavaliers.
I'll ask you about that.
Ricky Rubio had 37 points. I don't know the last time Ricky Rubio had 37 points. He might have been in Spain the last time he had 37, but he dropped 37 on the Knicks. And we could talk about the Knicks looking bad, but really this is about the Cavs looking good. Mobley looks amazing. Their backcourt, Garland and Sexton, are coming together really well. Jalen, Sexton and Garland, Mobley, Rubio, Allen. What's up with the Cavs?
The Cavs are building something nice. We just talked about this on the show the other day. Colin Sexton is a bull out there. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, just check out how he was dunking on the Clippers earlier this year. I was watching that game like, wow. And Garland get buckets like you mentioned. But how about the long erasers they got up front? Mobley out there blocking shots, changing shots, hanging on the rim. Jared Allen grabbing every rebound, dunking all over everybody. And the thing that came to mind really is that's something that the Knicks got to continue to improve at. Mitchell Robinson and Nerlens Noel got to be more of a threat offensively. Because when they're in the game now, you can kind of be a help guy off of them. That's one of the things that people have done against Julius Randle. You got to remember, Julius Randle played a lot of minutes last year at the five. Now Randle's back, now Mitchell's back, and Nerlens is back. So now that makes the chessboard look a lot different, especially when you're going against what it looked like Twin Towers last night in the Cleveland Cavs.
If you're not paying attention, the Cleveland Cavaliers are not an off night anymore. They are very much a player in the Eastern Conference, at least this early in the season. And again, hats off to Ricky Rubio. He got a big old beard now. He doesn't look the same, but man, 37 points, 10 assists. Huge, huge game from him to bring the Cavaliers another big win. They've got three or four kind of signature wins this early in the season. You got to be careful when you go to Cleveland to play the Cavs nowadays.
Jalen. Ricky Rubio, it's good to see him out there doing work.
Remember when we went to Buffalo and we watched the Bills and they shut out the Texans and we were partying and I was jumping through tables and everything was all good? When they have a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, you just assume they're going to win. Like last week against the Dolphins, they just sputtered out of the gate, they got it together in the second half and won the game. I was watching this game and I just waited and waited and waited for Josh Allen to throw a touchdown pass to give the Bills this win, and it never happened. It was the other Josh Allen that was shining in this one.
Keep talking.
Well, Josh Allen had a great game. Josh Allen had an amazing game. However, it was number 41 for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Josh Allen, who had a sack. He had a fumble recovery. He had a pick. Like, he was doing everything. And I'm watching this game, Jalen, thinking, oh, here's where Josh Allen leads him down the field.
I know you was watching it. That's your team. Keep talking.
Here's where Josh Allen leads him down the field and gets in the game. I think it was a three-point game for the entire fourth quarter. I just kept waiting for Josh Allen to score, and it never happened. They could not get the ball in the end zone against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it was Urban Meyer and the Jaguars who just grinded out this victory. This one just fell right into their lap.
And I'm just going to say this out loud.
Uh-oh.
I actually argue with you and everybody that works on this show who feels so very bad for me because my Lions are winless. I told y'all that Jacksonville was better than us.
You guys,
you know what I mean?
The Lions lost in the bye week this weekend. The Lions are so bad. They lost. This is the only weekend that you can watch football and not take an L when they have a bye week. You don't even have anything to say. This is the best.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I do got a Lions helmet up. I saw that on social. That was a good one. And it said we lost 27-24.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all can't even put up 24 points against the bye week. That's how you know it's fake.
Didn't cover.
Y'all don't put up 24 points. Yeah. Lions are so bad. I can't believe the Bills lost to the Jaguars, which is why I have the Baltimore Ravens as the best team in the AFC. At this point, it is clear. However, in the AFC, there are 12 teams. The difference between number 2 and number 10 is like a half a game in the AFC. The division is wide open. We have an AFC team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that no one really expected to be competing in this conference yet because of the parity they are. They will take on Justin Fields and the Bears in Monday Night Football. We'll get you ready for that. And we have special news about Jalen Rose's weekend that you don't want to miss. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Stay tuned. Big doubleheader Wednesday night on ESPN. It is the number one pick in the draft against the number two pick in the draft, the Pistons and the Rockets. And then in the nightcap at 10 p.m., it is the Miami Heat taking on the Lakers. All that's preceded by NBA Countdown at 7 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, there was an important sporting event this weekend that featured none other than your daughter, Gracie Rose.
GAC, 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 send them home. Way to go, G-Money. Congratulations to the Spartans for winning the state championship. And it's a family affair. Her mom did a terrific job making sure she picked her up and dropped her off at every practice and every game in the stands to support her. You see her sister, Mariah, there to support as well. Gracie was balling and killing. I'm really proud of you, G-Money.
Big shout out to Gracie Rose, championship. Jalen, Monday Night Football. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Chicago Bears. Who do you have winning this one?
I want to see Justin Fields do something, man. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with a division four and say the Chicago Bears. No, I'll take that back. Claypool, I got him on fantasy. He gonna give me two touchdowns. This is about me right now. Pittsburgh Steelers, I need y'all.
I'll take the Bears just for fun because I, like you, want to see Justin Fields not have a good play or two, but have a complete good game. We will look forward to breaking that down tomorrow.
GAC! GAC!
4 o'clock, ESPN2.
Congratulations, G-Money.
We always say we get the people that want part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Now, Jalen, there's a couple things going on in the National Basketball Association I want to discuss with you. Number one is this. Bucks don't look good, dog. I know you love the Bucks. But they're the champs. They're
Are
missing,
they healthy?
No.
Are they healthy?
They're missing Middleton. But they lost to the Wizards. Who've been impressive, by the way. The Wizards are 7-3. But they haven't been doing great, Jalen Rose. I'm a little concerned about
the Wizards,
your Bucks.
So if a healthy Wizards play a healthy Bucks in a 7-game series, who you taking?
Bucks.
Okay, so I'm not worried.
Okay. Nothing can happen.
They still got Giannis? Do they still have Giannis?
They got Giannis. They got all the Antetokounmpo. They got a Antetokounmpo's on a Antetokounmpo's on a Antetokounmpo's. Jalen, I want to give a shout to Cole Anthony. Because Cole Anthony has been playing great. And everyone's so excited about Jalen Suggs. But it's been Cole Anthony who has been leading the Magic to wins. And I'm just really impressed with him. They beat the Jazz yesterday at home, which is always tough to do, beating the Jazz in the regular season. And the Magic only have 3 wins, but they've got a few good ones. What do you think about Cole?
He got a flamethrower. He a scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Great call, Reg.
Come on, Reg.
Great call, Reg. I'm going to have to add him to my all irrational confidence squad.
Reg, I just want you to understand the people listening to the podcast can't hear you. So when you talk in our ear for 20 seconds, it's just me 20 seconds of dead air. Reg is going to give himself a microphone eventually. He's going to give himself a microphone eventually.
Reg will have a microphone soon, y'all. Stay tuned.
No. You keep saying that, but I'm leaving. I'm just surprised you didn't play the Jazz music when I mentioned the Jazz. I hate that Jazz song more than I hate the poop sound. There it is. God, I hate that song so much. That is not jazz, Reg. That's like 70s porn music. Jay.
What up, though?
Sometimes you have to just say, turn off the music, Reg. I hate it. Sometimes you just have to say, I was wrong. And you know what I was wrong about?
What's that?
I was wrong about the Warriors. I was wrong about the Warriors. They got one loss. Like, they're off to the same start they were off to when they had 73 wins. Like, they don't have Klay Thompson, and Jordan Poole is blown up, and they're getting things done. Could you see the Warriors winning the Western Conference? Could they keep this up? Could they be a number one seed? Could they host a game one in the first round of the playoffs?
Yes, and yes. And let me tell you the number one reason why. Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one reason why. So when you start talking about best players in the game, right? Don't forget he's in that conversation. And the difference between him and a guy that's in the conversation, say, like a LeBron, he's older. Or like an AD who really haven't cracked that, like, top five status in the game. No. You know what I mean? And so, not a James Harden, who sometimes we see peaks and valleys, but then struggled in the playoffs. But now he's getting healthy, and we'll see what the Nets do this year. Obviously, they can't win the championship without Kyrie Irving. But again, on paper, a lot of people feel like if you have Kevin Durant and James Harden, you should win the East. I don't necessarily feel like that makes them the best team.
Well, the Warriors look
good. And so the way Steph balls and he's consistent, that now allows you to do what's often said but not really very well done. And this is where I want to give Bob Myers some credit. Building around him. Taking those draft picks, taking Wiseman, keeping Draymond, Jordan Poole has emerged. We talked about him being the most improved candidate. So shout to Steve Kerr, who doesn't get enough credit for what he's done over there with that squad. And so absolutely, they could be a top seed and win the West.
They sure can. I mean, everyone said that Jordan Poole's gonna have a breakout year, and Jordan Poole's having a breakout year. And you know, they Looney's been holding down the front court for him and without Wiseman. And if they can get a better Wiseman, an improved Wiseman, and they can get something out of Klay Thompson rounding into shape for the playoffs, this is a very, very formidable opponent for anybody in a seven-game series.
But also it's two things though. Like the way they play, like stand on top of the building with your hair on fire. Move, cut, cut, move. And that's the beauty of playing with somebody like Steph Curry and having him as your best player, is that he's not necessarily ball dominant. And this is not something against Wiseman. I think he's a terrific, talented prospect. But for me, you can't have him and Draymond out there at the same time and have this level of efficiency offensively, because this creates another help defender.
Mm.
And so that's what I'm looking for with him and them. And on paper, yeah, you got to take the big fella to get that height. But I'm telling you, imagine if they would have took Melo Ball.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he would have fit in so perfectly with them. I love what LaMelo's doing. The Hornets, however, have not been, they started out hot. That was a fun story at first, but now they're below 500. They're 5-6. They've hit a tough patch. They lost to the Clippers yesterday. Will this team get it right and be a playoff team in the East the way we expect them to?
Which team?
The Hornets with LaMelo Ball lost to the Clippers. They're now 5-6 after starting out hot.
They'll be a part of the play-in scenario.
Probably.
That's what I see for them. That's what I thought coming into the season. I'm happy for Miles Bridges having a breakout year.
Me too.
Yeah, I see them around a 500 team, hovering around Jim, that.
There are rumors and reports that the Boston Celtics are interested in trading for Ben Simmons. Jaylen Brown has been sort of mentioned as someone who might be part of that discussion. What do you think about the fit of Simmons on the Celtics?
You don't trade Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons, dog. That's crazy. I'm gonna tell you the number one reason why. What's your favorite attribute of Ben Simmons?
Defense.
Jaylen Brown plays defense too.
Yes, he does.
See, and a lot of times when star players get traded, you can do the attribute test like I just did, and one guy may play offense and one guy may play defense. Well, in this case, they both play defense.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy is dramatically better on offense, and it's not even close.
It's I do not see a Brown for Simmons deal happening, because that would just make the 76ers so much better. The 76ers are going to trade Ben Simmons. They're not going to get a 100 cents on the dollar. And I feel like they would if they got Jaylen Brown back. Like, if, with Ben Simmons, the way that this is played out, you're getting 50, 75 cents on the dollar. That's why, like, a McCollum thing works for me.
Here's a player they may be able to get. Let me start giving you some names. What about, like, a Brandon Ingram? They may be able to get a player like that, maybe. Not Jaylen Brown. He's a different caliber player.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we'll see what happens, but that ain't happening.
we'll see what does happen, but that ain't it. That is not happening.
That ain't this, and this ain't that.
I agree. Jalen Rose. Yesterday taught me one thing, and that one thing is that I have no idea what teams are good in the National Football League. You would have told me that the Cowboys, I thought the Cowboys were going to run away with the NFC. Go down 30-0 to the Broncos. However, the Raiders, I thought, were going to be something in the AFC. They lose to the Giants. And we saw the Packers barely be able to score against the Chiefs. Granted, Aaron Rodgers wasn't there, but whatever. Cardinals without Kyler Murray got a win against the 49ers. But right now, if you had to pick a team to come out of the NFC, which team would you pick?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Still, huh? It just sort of seems like if you didn't play last week, then you avoided an upset. Like in the bye week, like week 9 was a great thing.
The old rankings in college football.
you know what
I'm saying? They don't look as bad after all. But in all seriousness, I'm taking the Buccaneers. Here's why. Because nobody's still cracked the Tom Brady code yet. Brown back. Saints ain't winning it without Jameis. Like, who gonna play quarterback?
I can't believe you just said Saints ain't winning it without Jameis. That's where we are right now in the NFC.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, right now, Russell Wilson hurt. Kyler's hurt. Who's coming back? I would say I like the Cardinals and I like the Buccaneers.
I still like the Cowboys even after going down 30-0 at home to the Broncos.
I'm going to tell you what I didn't like about that. Of course, you don't want to overreact to a loss, but each circumstance matter. Here's a bit of context. We gave them two celebratory victories in a championship parade when they won without Dak.
Mm-hmm.
And we know they ain't better without Dak. And so what does that tell me when Dak returns and they're playing at home against the Broncos and don't even show up? That tells me that they got bullied.
They did.
I saw Amari Cooper dropping the ball. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Zeke get his head on the goalpost at all?
No.
So based on that, I think they still have another level to go before they actually enter winning one or two playoff games and getting an NFC championship.
I also want to make it clear that the Packers are part of this conversation as well in the NFC. They didn't have – Jordan Love is not Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
And they had a chance to beat the Chiefs. And if they could move the ball at all, they would have beaten the Chiefs. And – it might look like a 7-2 team, but that really is, to me, a 9-0 team. Because that first week against the Saints didn't count either. I'm saying both their losses didn't count. I still have the Packers one of the best teams in the NFC. We'll talk about Monday Night Football, and we'll get into a lot of NBA storylines with our final show before we take off and fly to Qatar. I don't know how to say it. but we're going there. We're going there. Tomorrow, we'll have our takeoff, blast-off show before we're off for the rest of the week. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
Appreciate the love, and for those that don't know, fans of Jalen and Jacoby, fans of Jalen Rose, as Jacoby mentioned, I will be out of town. I've been invited to be a United States ambassador for the World Cup Games. We are going to Doha, Qatar, basically Wednesday through Friday, returning Saturday or Sunday. So you will be without shows only Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And you know what I figured, Jacoby? I didn't even know how to take days off. I didn't even know something that called floating days existed. Right? So we'll be back a week from today to do what we always do. Get the people what they want. And shout out to my daughter, Gracie, who won a state championship this weekend in volleyball as a sophomore. MVP. Shout out to their squad, GAC, Spartans. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.